Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, peeps. I can't tell you how excited I am today. I have an incredible guest. As a matter of fact, I read her book after I wrote my first book. That book was called The Wealthy Speaker, and now she has another one called The Wealthy Speaker 2.0. Her name is Jane Atkinson, and she's from Canada, way up yonder there. And she's joining us today to talk about how to use speaking in your business. Hey, Jane, how you doing?
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you on. I was looking forward to this for a long time because I've been a fan. You know, I don't want to be like a fanboy, but I've loved your stuff and it's really helped me. And I thought, hey, I want to share you with the rest of my audience. And I know and you know that public speaking is probably right up there with self-dentistry of one of the favorite things that people like to do, right?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, so let's go through your origin story so people get to know you. So how did you go from being a deckhand on a fishing boat in Australia to a speaker coach in Canada?
Well, it's that story is kind of a long roundabout story, but really I did a lot of jobs when I was growing up and coming into my own, you know, in my early 20s, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so I did a whole tour of Australia, spent a year there. I also worked on a cruise ship. So I had cushy and then not so cushy, where it was just me and the captain of the boat, and we were trawling for prawns. But when I came back to Canada after my year there, I took some temp jobs. And I had been temping for a long time. That I always had two or three jobs on the go at any given time. And I always learned a lot about the businesses that I was in. So my last temp job was at 3M and working and seeing kind of, you know, did I want to climb the corporate ladder in 3M or did I want to go on off and do something else? And I recognized very early on that the corporate thing wasn't for me. And so I did watch a Les Brown Live Your Dreams program on PBS, and I watched it over and over again. I thought, that's it. I'm going to go next and work for a motivational speaker, which I did. And that began a 30-year career, first as an agent for speakers for the first half. And then people started to ask me over and over again, you know, how did you make so-and-so so successful? Because we typically would double business year after year. And so I thought, someday I'm going to charge for this. And I actually, after a six-year stint in Dallas for the last speaker that I represented, I moved back to Canada and I hung out my shingle as a coach and have since gone beyond coaching to more of a business that helps speakers catapult their businesses.
That is awesome. That's a great story. And so, you know, obviously you have a lot of experience in a bunch of different things, and the people that listen to this show can be everything from a local business owner all the way to a CEO. Now, there's so many questions I want to ask, and we have a limited time, so I want to kind of really kind of focus in a couple of key things. The first one is, why do people need to speak? I mean, give them the motivation, say, look, you can do this, but here's the most important reason why you should do this.
Well, I think if you own a business, then you're probably out selling something all the time. And the best way to be seen, think about it like you're at a conference and you have a trade show booth. And so you're there and your role is to sell and to, you know, pull people in towards you. But then imagine yourself up on the stage in front of 100 people or 200 or 1,000. And now you're actually elevating yourself above salesperson to expert. And that's a really great way for people to see you through a different light and to say, hey, maybe I should be looking more seriously at what that person is selling.
Exactly. And not only can you be an expert, say, for example, on a stage in a conference or something like that, but you could also be an expert in your industry. Let's say you do HVAC and you go to an HVAC conference and they bring you up on stage and you stand up and talk about how you sell more air conditioners than anybody in the Chicagoland area or in London, Canada. I mean, that's an opportunity for you as well.
Right. Now you're revered. Now you're someone who other people are looking to for information. And at some point in time, that may be some information that you can then later sell.
Right. And that brings up the next point. So I get this question all the time, and I've heard it. It's like, okay, I want to make $25,000 speaking. So I'm just going to put my shingle out, and I'm going to contact all of these like speaker bureaus, and they're going to love me because I wrote a book. So I'm going to make $25,000 keynotes. That's not how it works, right?
Not really. It's a nice vision to have. It's a nice carrot to dangle at the end of the thing for yourself. But really, what you could come out at 25K if you had a level of fame and notoriety and some expertise that people are definitely willing to pay for. You know, there could be people who do that, but it's not really the traditional trajectory. Most people will come out onto the market and they will start speaking. Sometimes even people will start for free. And we will encourage people, if they're brand new to the game, if they don't have kind of a level of notoriety behind them, that they go out and speak to anyone who will listen for the first 6 months and start to get a feel for what audiences really work for them, who loves them, who you love. And that will allow you to start to gather some business, because the goal is that every one speech turns into two or three more, and that will help you start to build momentum. So that's right. How people will typically begin, either at no or a fairly low fee. And I wouldn't say that you can't come right out of the chute at $5,000. That's entirely doable too.
Wow, that's excellent. Well, one of the things that I've done, obviously, is, you know, I started out doing the free speech, you know, doing the Chamber of Commerce, doing the Small Business Networking, Rotary, all of those things, yes. And one of the things that you coined in your book, which I always loved, was the rubber chicken circuit. And I want to know, is it the rubber chicken circuit because you have to carry around a rubber chicken and be entertaining, or because they serve rubber chicken at lunch at every one of those events?
Well, only Tim Gard is the one who carries around the actual rubber chicken. The joke came, the rubber chicken circuit, because back then, hotel food was really not nearly as good as it is today. And you may still say, you know, it's But anyway, a long time ago, people would say, come, you know, it'll be great exposure and we'll give you a nice chicken lunch.
Right.
And that's what you would be speaking for, is basically the chicken. So that's why we called it the rubber chicken circuit.
I love it. Now, a couple of things. I've got a couple of stories I want to tell just kind of along this lines. But the first one is that doing those sessions, those free gigs. Now, I have a leg up on most people, actually two legs up, because I've stood up as a musician for all my life. I've been playing guitar since 10. And I, you know, you'd get nervous. People would get nervous getting up on stage, you know, playing in a band or speaking. It's all pretty much the same thing. But the one thing that I learned that really changed my attitude was I treated every performance as a rehearsal. And the reason I did that was because I wanted to be free-flowing. I wanted to feel the crowd and know what kind of songs they liked. And what I learned from that is every crowd is different. And if you have this pre-canned thing, if you go in with the same set list, one day, one night, you're going to be fantastic, and the next night, you're going to be a dud, even though you're playing the same songs basically at the same level to almost the exact same crowd. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how do you overcome, or how do you get into the mindset of, you know, being able to work a crowd and being able to figure out, you know, how to kind of blend in and hit the highs and avoid the lows?
I think Lou Heckler calls that leaving some air in your program.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we really don't want to encourage people to wing it, because when you wing it, you go up and you deliver your presentation and it works really well, but you can't duplicate it because you don't know what you said. Mm-hmm. So when you craft a really amazing presentation, you kind of get it so far into your bones that when you show up, it sounds just very conversational. Mm-hmm. And when you leave air in the room, in the program, that allows you to pivot when something funny happens in the room or when you have some interaction with the audience or whatever it might be. You don't want to be so stiff that you can't turn on a dime. You know, if the fire alarm goes off, the fire alarm goes off, and you need to be prepared to handle that professionally and perhaps even with some humor. So that's why I think we want to kind of know what we're going to say. Like, you wouldn't probably go out to an engagement as a musician without any kind of idea of what you were going to do when you arrived. So the idea is that you craft an amazing presentation, but you leave a little room in there for things to be spontaneous and fun.
Right. So you still have a set list, but if you feel like they're digging the Beatles that night, you interject a couple more Beatles songs and maybe take out a couple of the...
Could be that something happens on the fly. And sometimes you'll start a story and you'll think to yourself, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but it seems like the right thing to do. You know, your intuition can guide you to a certain degree. And I think it's okay to roll with that.
Excellent. So when I was in school, I actually got my degree in electronics. And I went to DeVry. And at DeVry, we carried around on our belts. Yes, we wore belts back then. We had pocket calculators that were the size of, you know, 5 iPhones slapped together. And we always had that ready in case somebody asked us for the square root of pi. It's like, what's the square root of pi? You whip it out like, it's this. You know, so you could always answer those questions. Now, I personally have the same thing, except what I do is I travel around with my projector and my screen in the back of my car, because I never know when I show up at a gig whether they're going to have working technology, whether they're going to have a flat screen TV, whether it's going to connect to my computer, or there have been times I've actually showed up at networking meetings where the speaker didn't show up and they said, hey, Brian, will you come up and speak for us? They're like, okay. So how do you treat that kind of thing? Should people be that prepared? Should they be ready to speak at any time? Do they, what do they do?
I think being ready to speak at any time is a good idea. And if you have a speech in the can, on the cloud somewhere, a PowerPoint, ready to go, that's fantastic because you know you can access it from anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Do I recommend that you have to have your own projector? No, typically. What I would recommend that you do is always do your homework and find out what the client has ready to roll. Is there a production company? And of course, the bigger that you get, the more you will have in your rider in terms of how many things you're going to require. You know, some people in my stable, they require a comfort monitor, which is the big screen that comes right in front of them on the stage to be able to allow them to look at their slides without turning around. You know, there are things that as you go up the ladder, you'll find that things just keep getting better and better for you. Mm-hmm. The stages get bigger. The audiences get more sophisticated. The production becomes bigger and there's an IMAG on either side of you. And that's the goal, is to get there for a lot of people. And I think what you're saying is always be prepared. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a fabulous idea for anybody. And we don't want to take things to chance. I have some people who are just starting out in my school who say things like, you know, it wasn't until the day of that I realized they weren't going to pay me. Well, that's taking things for granted that, you know, that should have all been dealt in a contract 3 months earlier with a 50% deposit and so on and so forth. We don't take anything for chance. We have a system for everything to make sure that every engagement plays the same and that you've done your research and your homework the same before each one.
Right. Now, obviously, we would all love to get paid to speak. I mean, that would be, that's a goal that I hear from everybody. Every author who's ever written a book thinks they can walk up on stage and get paid to speak. But, so let's talk that through a little bit. I would love to obviously make $25,000 a speech, but sometimes it's okay to make $500 a speech locally, or $1,000 a speech, or $2,500 a speech. How do you price yourself? How do you figure out what your value is to the audience? And I kind of know the answer to that, but I want to hear your take on it.
Well, I think the market is going to tell you how much value they're placing. And I also think, you know, Brian, I've been doing a lot of work on the whole mindset piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think that the mindset was like 50% of the equation, and now I believe it's 100% of the equation. That you have to really be already in your mind where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be making your decisions from that place. So I think that if you decide that you want to be a $10,000 speaker, that is entirely doable. More so even in the States than here in Canada. The companies in Canada, I've been talking about them being cheap, but I tell you what, I'm even going to stop saying that, because they are paying big bucks, but they're paying it to our American colleagues who are coming up here. Hmm. And so I think that anything is possible. And what is important, the most important factor in this is that your content is helping to solve a problem that people are willing to pay for. And so different levels of content will reap different levels of reward. There are people out speaking on business who can be at the top end of the game, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000. One of my clients, Kendra Hall, speaks on storytelling. I don't know if she's sitting 18, 20, 25, but she'll be at 25 and 30 someday. And she'll mm-hmm. be earning over $1 million for sure. I'm 100% sure of that. And so that you would think, storytelling, how's that? But she has a business application to what she's talking about, and that's why it's become so popular. So I think what you have to take is, what is my content,
mm-hmm.
and will people pay for this, and who is my perfect target market for this, and then go after those people. I think it's when you try to be all things to all people, and you say, yes, I can do that, yes, I could do that, that tends to diminish your brand a little bit. And I think that the more specific you can be in solving your problem, the better off you'll be later on.
Yeah, and when you're talking business to business and things of that nature, it's usually, if you can deliver enough value, say you cost a dollar, and through your presentation, through your speaking, through your teaching, whatever you want to call it, that company will see a return on investment of $2 or $3 or $5 or $10 because of what you do. And you have a history of proving that with case studies or referrals or testimonials on LinkedIn, known as recommendations or any of those kind of things. That's when you've kind of hit the mark, is, you know, being able to show that the value that you provide is greater than the cost of what you do, right?
Yeah, and many of us have kind of intangibles. You know, we can't, let's say though you're a customer service speaker, you might be able to say, we took your score from here to here. Healthcare has like a rating system of hospitals, you know, and if a hospital's scoring low and a speaker comes in and does some work with that hospital and they get a higher score, boom, now they have something really tangible that they can talk about. Sales is something else. Well, our sales rose 10% after using this speaker's material. That's fabulous. Many people in leadership and communication and different things like that, it's maybe not going to be as tangible, but the types of testimonials that we are after are the ones that say, this is how my company changed as a result of working with you, or as a result of applying your ideas. And cool. Those are really cool testimonials to have.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So I want to kind of draw this back in. I'm going to ask the 64,000 paid speaking gig question. In other words, this question is actually geared towards people that aren't going to get paid at all. And that is the fear of public speaking. What are your best advice for somebody that says, I can't stand it? And I see this all the time at networking events, you know, where people are getting up for the first time and they're not used to this, or they're not in the speaking biz. What's the best advice that you could give people who are not getting paid to speak, or doing this just to promote their business, to kind of get started and get over that fear?
I think that one thing we take for granted is actually oxygen. So when you know your turn is coming, take 10 really deep, long, slow breaths. And because what happens, the reason why most people are afraid of speaking is because they got up at one point in time, they forgot to breathe, no oxygen got to their brain, and they couldn't think of what they wanted to say, right? That's our biggest fear, is that we'll forget. We probably have dreams of standing up in front of people and opening our mouth and nothing comes out. Mm-hmm. And so if you sit and take the 10 long, slow, deep breaths, that will then feed your brain what you need to remember what it is that you're going to say. And then I would say, don't try to do too much with whatever time you have. Let's say they give you 2 minutes at a networking meeting. Great. Let me just make this one point. You know, this is the one point I want to make. Don't try to do too much with your time. And that even goes for somebody giving a 45-minute speech. Don't try to put too much into that speech. That's where people typically go wrong, is by trying to provide too much value. Then people walk away feeling a little more muddled and confused than you may like.
Gotcha. So the bottom line is, keep it super simple, the KISS method.
Yes.
Okay, the last question I've got for you is, okay, again, this person now has been asked to speak. What do you recommend as far as presentation preparation? How often do they use slides? Should they use slides? Could they use note cards? How much should they practice and not feel, you know, so it's so robotic by the time you give the presentation? What are your best practices on that?
Well, I tend to use PowerPoint as a way to kind of move from one idea to the next. But I don't try to put too many PowerPoints in, because it's supposed to be a visual aid and not a crutch. And I think that people will, they call it death by bullet point, you know, when there's like 20 points on a screen. Think about it in terms of a visual aid. One beautiful picture with one word, or a beautiful picture with a sentence. That's really what PowerPoint is meant to do. And just keep in mind, less is more. But if you're transitioning, so we have this really super simple speech formula in a book that I wrote called The Epic Keynote. And it's just, you have an opening story and you have a closing story, and then in the middle you have three key ideas. And so if you just have PowerPoints to move you through those kind of different sections, I think then it won't feel too heavy to your audience. And your goal is to paint pictures for them, mental pictures through your stories, so that they can kind of go with you on this journey. In terms of rehearsing, what you want to do is just kind of know how you want to tell the story, and you may write it all out, but then when you get there, I want you to really be very cognizant of just having a conversation with people, because when you're in your head thinking, now where do I go next, or where do I stand, that's what people can see, is you're in your head thinking about those things rather than just being present and with them. So do all of your preparation on the front end, get it kind of into your bones, and then just show up. Now, if you wanted to have notes, I see no problem with that. And I think that people being flawed, it can be a part of their charm. You know, I've seen Joe Calloway drop his notes and just pick them up and keep going. Like, who cares? So he's imperfect. That makes him even that much more charming. So I think it's okay for you to use whatever you need to use to kind of get through it. The goal is that you're not standing behind a lectern reading from 6 pages of a script. I think that's really the goal. And I've even seen people do that quite nicely. But I'd say that our goal as, you know, quote unquote, professional speakers is to move out from behind it and to be talking to the story, talking to the audience, telling them stories and having a conversation.
That is all awesome advice. I got a couple of final points I want to bring up. Number one, your epic keynote formula is exactly the same way that you should write a blog post. And that is start with a story, put in 3 points, and then basically close it out with a story that summarizes what goes on. So that's fantastic. And I think that's something that somebody that could use. The second one is I am so old school that I was around before PowerPoint, and I worked at a corporation where we had overhead projectors where people literally took typed text and put it on a clear sheet of paper and put it on the overheads. And that was the beginning of PowerPoint, where you could not read anything on the page. And then when they finally got PowerPoint, it was that small but whizzing around the screen because they can move things now. It's like, oh, check this out. This is.
I remember Brian Tracy madly writing on the PowerPoint.
Yes, I do. So yeah, been there, done that. So the bottom line is I love it. Keep it simple. 1 point, one word, one sentence, one great graphic. I mean, all those things. It makes it super simple for people to understand. So Jane, I could talk to you for hours. I love this conversation.
Me too, Brian.
But we have a limited time, so I wanted people to get to know you better. So what's the best way or best place they can do that? How can they follow you? What do you got going on? What can they look for?
If they come on over to speakerlauncher.com and sign up for anything, we've got a really cool 3-part video series that's there for people who are just getting started under our Emerging Speakers place. That's really a great way to go. We have a podcast called The Wealthy Speaker Podcast. And I have a blog as well. So there's tons and tons and tons of good free materials there. And we'll actually be launching the Wealthy Speaker School this fall, which will have a really amazing host of programs for people at all stages.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to that. And again, I listen to your podcast. That's one of the ways that we were able to connect, and that and LinkedIn and a whole bunch of other things. So, but if people wanted to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just come on through speakerlauncher.com.
Perfect. So just fill out the contact form, say, hey, Jane, heard you on the Bacon Podcast.
Sure, sure. My email is on there as well.
Awesome. Hey, Jane, this has been a blast. I've learned a lot. I think there's a lot of great tips for anybody from novice to millionaire. So there's a lot of great sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs. Peeps, go back and listen to this again. And Jane, I appreciate you and your time. And it's such a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.